Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
So I'm going to read from Luke 19 now. This is ESV if you want to follow along. So he entered Jericho, talking about Jesus, and passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so that he could see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. For I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. And he has gone into to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And so these would have been the disciples and the people around Jesus at the time. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." Man, and when I read that story, I just think that it's so powerful. And this morning, the reason why my message is Jesus sees, Jesus loves, there's some blanks if you can see them there, but Jesus sees Zacchaeus, Jesus loves Zacchaeus, and I want you guys to think about this morning and think about the people in your life or the people around you who need to be seen, who need that love of God in their life. You know, the drug addict, the person who, whatever that is, Jacinda Ardern, I said in the first service, these people that we look down on or we deem as unworthy or we deem as like we don't agree with their choices or whatever it is, Jesus sees them and he loves them. He came for them. And so just a couple of things that I want you to kind of think about and mull over as I'm sharing this morning. What was it about Jesus that made Zacchaeus want to see him so bad? You think about it, he climbed up a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus. And it's quite interesting when you think about it, because many people of the time, like at this time, they would have just seen Jesus as a rabbi or a great teacher. They didn't actually realize that he was the Messiah. And so Zacchaeus probably would have counted hundreds of Pharisees before, many teachers, but he so wanted to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus, as I said, he made a real effort to see Jesus. He actually had to make effort to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus shared a moment with Jesus, one moment that fully transformed his life. And we don't really hear much else that goes on. We just hear that he had this moment with Jesus and it transformed his life. So my first point this morning, dine with the unworthy. And what is the definition of unworthy? Not deserving of respect or attention. An action that is not acceptable, especially from someone with good reputation or social position. Having little merit. Now, I find that quite funny when I think about it, because it's a bit of a paradox. As Christians, or as other, or just normal people, we often deem people as unworthy. You know, this person's done this, or this person's acting a certain way, so they're unworthy. Or we use other words, but that is the essence of what we're saying, that person is unworthy. But all these people that we say are unworthy, that was once us when we didn't have Jesus. Jesus is the only reason that we are so-called worthy. And there's a very hard-hitting kind of scripture in Romans 3. Paul was actually addressing this kind of issue, and he's talking to the Jews at the time. And this is Romans 3, verses 10 to 18. "And the scriptures agree, for it is written, 'There is no one who always does what is right, not even one.' There is no one with true spiritual insight, and there is no one who seeks after God alone. All have deliberately wandered from God's ways. All have become depraved and unfit. Kindness has disappeared from them all, and not even one is good. Their words release a stench like a foul smell of death, foul and filthy. Deceitful lies roll off their tongues. Their venom of a viper drips from their lips. Bitter profanity flows from their mouths, only meant to cut and harm. They are infatuated with violence and murder. They release ruin and misery wherever they go. They never experience the path of peace. They shut their eyes to the awe-inspiring God. Now, when I read that verse, I was like, man, that is very hard-hitting. Because, and this is an awesome scripture, Romans 3. I encourage you to go away and read the rest of it, because it talks about how we're made righteous by God's righteousness. He makes us righteous. And there's an awesome promise in that. But the thing is before, without Jesus, we are those unworthy people. As people that we deem unworthy, or we deem outcast or not good enough, or we disagree with what they have to say or what they think, that is us without Jesus. And so I just want you to think this morning of that statement that I said at the start, Jesus sees, Jesus loves. You know, that was us. Jesus sees you, Jesus sees me, and he loves us. And back to our story with Zacchaeus, as I said before, Jesus shared a moment with Zacchaeus that changed his life forever. And if you are here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, he's inviting us to do the same this morning. He's inviting us to have those moments where we see people and we act in love. So leading into my second point this morning, if I can get my iPad to work. Sorry, technical difficulties. Cat. Cool, it's working now. Unwavering morals and relentless love. Unwavering morals and relentless love. So I used to be quite a black and white person, like this is right, this is wrong, and I still am, but a little bit different now, especially when, because I grew up in a Christian family, and you know, we're told what is right and what is wrong. And so I kind of grew up, and whenever I got into a conversation with anyone or I'd see someone, it was always, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. And grew up, lived a little, worked in the workforce, met a whole hot heap of different people. And has anything changed? Well, morally, I feel like I still have the same morals. I still think the same way. But now I love and value people. And this statement is said so many times, but it's often hard for us to grasp. We can disagree with someone's actions, but that doesn't mean that we stop loving them. And I feel like often we really struggle with that loving part. We really struggle with it, especially because this part that I'm talking about, unwavering morals. As Christians, I believe that it's so important for us to be continually seeking the truth. And we need to be set apart from this world. And, you know, you only have to have a little Google and put in the word set apart or different, and you'll see so many scriptures where it talks about us being set apart, the way we think, the way we act. And this verse that I always remember, because it was a scripture verse that we did at school, Romans 12, verses 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so I think that is so important that we do have those morals and we have a standard that we keep. But often it can be blurred between our morals and the way that we love people. And so something that I've always found is a really good tester, especially when we're talking to people and we're interacting with people in our day-to-day lives, is this statement that someone said to me once, and it was so challenging when they said it to me at the time. It was almost like a kick. It was almost like a punch to me. It was like a punch in the guts, like, this is just so hard-hitting, but it's so true. And it was, they said, if your conversation with someone doesn't bring them closer to Jesus, winning the argument wasn't worth it. And, you know, there's a difference, a big difference between conviction and condemnation. And one leads away from God, and the other leads right into his arms. And So that's something that has really stuck with me, and it's been really hard hitting over the years. And, you know, and often as we talk about, people think when you talk about love, it means that we just accept everything and we don't, we let our morals drop. And I'm totally, if not the way that I think, but I think that they have to go hand in hand. And the example that I like to use is with my hands. You have to have your truth and the morals and what you believe hand in hand with love, because with one without the other just doesn't work. And I love this kind of quote. I kind of made it up, so you might not like it, but it says, "Don't let your love for the truth turn you into a Pharisee, for without love, that is all the world will see you as." And that for me has just been so hard-hitting when I think about it, because there's been so many times where I know I've bought truth, but there's been no love. And so that is all someone has seen me as a hypocrite, or as someone speaking not out of love. So really, I think they should so go hand in hand. And another way that put it by Tulin Tavichajan, again, don't know his name, but must have been a great guy because he's got a cool name. Legalism says God will love us if we change. The gospel says God will change us because he loves us. Isn't that just so powerful? That second part this morning, relentless love. What does that look like? And who knows this morning that it can be hard to love, right? It's hard to love sometimes. Who knows that it's also a choice, that we have to choose to love in life. And that, you know, when everything's going well, whether it's in your relationships or whatever it is, it's pretty easy to love because you have all the emotion, all the stuff that's connected. But when that goes away and it's hard, you know that you have to choose it, that it's a mindset. And that I've been challenged with that so many times, that relentless love to keep choosing it. And I just think that so many times it's often easier to judge than to love someone, because we often know what the right and the wrong way about it is, and so it's often easier to judge. And don't get me wrong, I definitely think that judgment is biblical, but it must be done in the right way, or else it just has the total opposite effect. And as Simon always puts it, and I love it, is having passport into people's life. We have to have passport into people's life. And, you know, Jesus had some very strong morals, you know, and he lived it, and he was it, and it was just, and there was times, like I think about the marketplace situation when he made a whip and he turned the stalls upside down. But he was, when you think about that situation, he was addressing people that already knew that they were doing wrong. They knew that they shouldn't have been doing that. They knew that it was a sacred place and that they were not doing that. So it's always important, I think, to come back and think about the context, the situation, and always have that love and truth just hand in hand. So my first point this morning was dine with the unworthy. The second point, unwavering morals and relentless love. So leading into my third point this morning, which is start now. And so we had our pastors, Stephen and Karis. They came over from Scotland last year. I think it was last year, was it? And they're just an amazing couple. Just a massive shout out to them this morning. Awesome, awesome couple. And they're doing an amazing job with the church over in Scotland. And so I got to spend some time with them, kind of some one-on-one time with Stephen and Karis, especially Stephen. We ended up climbing up a mountain together, like trying to have a mean convo while you're both of us being pretty unfit, and you're like, you know how it is. If you've ever climbed a mountain pretty unfit, trying to have an intense conversation, it's actually quite hard, but it was really good. It was really good. And so one of the things we were talking about, and we had some, you know, back and forth, and I was just like downloading all this awesome info that he was talking to me about, and he said to me, you know, Eddie, I'm talking to the young adults group tonight. What do you think I should share on, or what would you think would be good? And had to think about it, and I thought, well, maybe like how we evangelize to people, how we reach people, because anyone that knows Steve, he has an amazing gift of evangelism. He's just like, he can just reach anyone kind of thing. Like, he's just amazing. And so I said, yeah, maybe you should talk about that. And so he said, yeah, no, that's cool, and had a message all ready to go. And he came around and spoke to the young adults, and it was an awesome night. Just one of the things, though, that really stuck out to me, because, and I just remember it so clearly, as we were talking and someone said, oh yeah, this is all good, but I'm often not surrounded by non-Christians, or I'm often not surrounded by people that I feel like I can touch. And Stephen kind of like, it was a bit of a slap in the face to some people, was like, well, get yourself in the right position then. Align yourself in the right places. If you feel like you don't have a situation where you can help someone, or you can share with your non-Christian friends, then get in those situations, whatever that looks like. And it was a real, like, practical, hard-hitting, but truth. Get out there, get amongst it. And, you know, you might be saying to me this morning, Eddie, well, that's all good and that's awesome and stuff, and but how can we actually do that? How can we do that practically? And so I've got a solution for you. Well, it's not my solution. I actually stole it from someone, but it's really good. Stephen McLeish, awesome, awesome man. So, and it's very simple. Pray, care, and share. Pray, care, and share, if you're taking notes. And so this whole thing, prayer. We have a lot of people in our lives that need our prayers. Who could agree with me on that? Right? A lot of people, whoever it is, whether they're our Christian friends, our non-Christian friends. Yet, if we're truly honest with ourselves, most of us don't actually pray for people enough. And I had this kind of epiphany, or whatever you want to call it, the other day, and I was thinking to myself, you know, imagine what would happen if we prayed for people in our lives as much as we complained about them, or as much as we judge that person or that friend that we can't stand because they always rub us up the wrong way. What would happen if we prayed about them as much as we complained about the way they acted? And it was real hard-hitting to me, because I was like, man, we do that a lot, don't we? Well, I do. I was like, Flip, you complain about people, and then you're like, you have to stop and be like, man, imagine if I prayed as much as I complained. And, you know, it's, you can, whatever that is, maybe you have to set a reminder on your phone, or maybe you have to make a little note in your journal, must keep praying for my friends, whatever it looks like, but it's so important. It's so, so important to do. And pray for opportunities as well. You know, if you think to yourself, oh man, there's not enough opportunities for me to show my love to people, or to care for people, to share, pray for those opportunities. Say, God, I really want to impact someone's life today. Send me a situation where I can do that. And I just love this quote by D.L. Moody. It says, I'd rather be able to pray than be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. I'm going to read that again. I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. I think if that was Jesus, then it must have been something pretty important. It must have been a pretty important statement to need to know how to pray, right? And the second thing this morning, pray, care, share, care. And I don't just mean the type of caring where you're pretending or you're offering, but you actually don't actually want to do it. I'm talking about the genuine care that people can feel. And we all know of people in our lives or situations that need care. And it could be anything from practical to mental, whatever it is. We can all buy someone a coffee. We can offer our mate a ride who hasn't got a car. Whatever those situations look like, I guarantee all of us here have heaps of situations that we can think of straight away that have probably popped into our heads. And not just caring on a practical level, but being there for people, actually listening, hearing people's problems, and actually caring for them in that genuine way. And I shared this morning, there's this great video about listening to people, and I don't know if any of you would have seen it. I encourage you to watch it because it's quite funny. But it's this, I feel like we played it at church, but it's of this woman and she has a nail in her head and she's going around and she's like complaining to her husband about this nail in her head and blah, blah, blah. And the husband is like, oh, it's all good. I'll just get a hammer and I'll rip the nail out. It's all good. Don't worry about it. I'll get the nail out. And she's saying to him, and it keeps going back and forth. And the essence of the video is she just wants her husband to care for her and to show her sympathy, show her empathy, actually get down to her level. And that's what the whole video is about. It's pretty funny. I encourage you to watch it. You'll understand a whole lot more if you watch it. But it's a great video that shows that. And I love this quote. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't know or don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Jesus went, he saw, he felt, and then he did. And on that practical note, I love this verse in Matthew 15, verses 32. Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people, that empathy, that sympathy. They have been here for me with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the way. Isn't that crazy to think that Jesus is just like, he's this awe-inspiring, amazing man, and he's like, he could be worrying about whatever, but he's worrying about the people that are with him. And it's just so awesome. I just love that verse. Jesus saw, called his disciples, and told them, I feel sorry for these people. It's just awesome. You know, God never asks us to love in an opportune time. That opportune time is now. And there's been so many situations I know in my own life that God has brought a situation to me. And I've thought, this is just inconvenient, God. Sorry, I can't do it right now. I've got other things, more pressing issues. And then you walk away and you know that that was a situation that you should have acted on. And so I want to just encourage you guys this morning, because I'm putting my hand up as well. As I know those opportunities come around, especially if you pray for it. If you say, God, I really want to, you know, love people more. I want to see people, God. I want to love people. They come about, but we have to say yes for when they come. And so the third thing there, share. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go out and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I think that's a cool verse. That's awesome, because it gives us our mandate, I think, of what we should be doing. That is our call above everything, is to be going out and discipling people. But I found that in my experience, not a heck of a lot of experience, I've been around for 23 years, so not that long, but I found that the more you do those first two things, the easier the sharing part comes. The more you pray, the more you care, it's more that it's so much easier to share. And the surprising thing as well is the more that you pray and you care about people, then actually people start coming to you rather than you coming to people all the time. And so that's really cool. And, you know, I'm not saying this next comment to blow my own trumpet or say I'm amazing, but it's crazy that I've worked, done hospitality on and off for about 4 or 5 years and had a couple of other jobs. And I've just been blown away by the more that you show people that you genuinely care for them, the more they talk to you about stuff. And I've had people talk to me about suicide, depression, you name it. People have probably talked to me about it. And it blows me away that out of that caring comes that opportunity for you to share. Now, I've had people come up to me and say, Eddie, this is going on, what do I do? And then that time for you to be able to share that moment of Jesus with them, boom, you're right there. Like, it's all aligned and ready for you to go. And so that's why I really want to just reiterate this morning those two first ones, pray and care, and that sharing just comes naturally.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.